Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you had a good weekend. On Friday, right at the end of our show, a couple of days ago, right around 10 a.m., right down the street from where we do the radio show, from our studios here at Bayou, a guy walked into a bank and he robbed it. A 40-year-old guy. He walked into the First Bank and Trust on Poydras Street. And he gave the bank teller a note that said he was robbing them and that he had a weapon. So the bank teller does what they're supposed to do, what they're trained to do. Guy says he's got a gun or whatever the case may be. You do what he asked you to do. The teller complied, but the stacks of cash that the bank teller gave the bank robber had dye packs in them. And once the bank robber grabbed the dye packs, I got this happened right near where we do this radio show. I mean, like almost right next to us. So the bank robber grabs the money with the dye packs and he makes a beeline for the door. But the dye packs exploded before he exited the bank. Look out! I guess that's good, although don't you want the dye packs to explode once the guy leaves the bank? Because if the dye packs explode while the robber is still in the bank, isn't that going to make him pissed? And if he's got a gun or a bomb like he said that he had?
I think he did make it to the door, right?
He made it to the door, but he didn't make it outside the door.
Ah.
Don't you want him to get outside the bank and then the dye packs to go off? Because chances are, he's not going to run back inside the bank.
Right.
The dye packs went off before he got out the door. So he's still in the bank, and now he's got dye all over him. And now what if he did have a gun like he said he did, and now he's pissed? Anyways, they caught the guy, and luckily nobody got hurt. 40-year-old Randall Berry was arrested.
You idiot.
You know, it seems like it's nearly impossible to rob banks these days. But besides the dye packs, every inch of a bank is on video. You can video record every part of a bank. You know, it's not like back in the day when it seemed like robbing a bank was a lot easier,
right,
than it is now. I mean, I love the movie Bonnie and Clyde. It's a great movie, and I think, by the way, I think Faye Dunaway is hotter in that movie than just about, I mean, there are women in movies that are as hot as her, but I can't see very many women, any if at all, that are hotter, any woman in a movie in history that are hotter, that are better looking than Faye Dunaway as Bonnie Parker in the movie Bonnie and Clyde from the late 1960s. Jennifer Aniston in Rockstar. Did you ever see the movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg? Jennifer Aniston in Rockstar was that hot. But anyways, it seemed like when Bonnie and Clyde were robbing banks, you know, nothing was on video. As a matter of fact, cars could drive over a state line and the cops would stop them. There was no computers, obviously. The cops would stop if a car drove over the state line. Well, this isn't our jurisdiction anymore. And the only way they got caught is they wouldn't stop. You know, I'm thinking if Bonnie and Clyde or John Dillinger or, you know, the bank robbers from back in the day, if they stopped after, I don't know, 25 or 30 bank robberies, they probably could have gone and retired somewhere. But they never stopped. And that's why, and when Bonnie and Clyde got caught, they right here in the state of Louisiana is where they got gunned down.
You know how impossible it is to rob a bank today? Not only does the bank have cameras everywhere, but everybody has cameras everywhere. You think nobody in the bank would have just took out their cell phone and had a recording?
You know,
they got GoPros. Then you go outside the bank, there's ATMs with cameras. And then when you get the neighborhoods, there's the doorbell bells. Like, there's literally cameras everywhere you go in public now.
Coleman, you make a good point, because as I mentioned when we started talking about this, this happened right at the end of our show on Friday.
Yeah.
So at 10 a.m., let's say we just happen to stroll out of the studio here,
mm-hmm.
and it's right near, it's like right there. It's almost right next to our radio station. Could you imagine if we saw a guy run out the door with dye all over him, and there's dollar bills flying all around his head? And there's dye all over him. I'd probably whip out my cell phone and say, hey, look at this guy running out the bank. He's got all different colors on him. And there's money flying all around him. Yeah, I probably would have recorded him too. And hopefully, you know, maybe if we got lucky, that could have gone viral.
I don't think there's a successful bank robbery that ever happened in like the last 15 years in the United States of America. Even if you did escape, they'll catch you later because they left you left a clue or a trace or something.
You'd have to look that one up.
Yeah,
they're not successful like they used to be. I'll tell you that much.
No.
And that's one crime that used to be easier. Now it's robbing a bank is nearly impossible for a few different reasons. All right, coming up on the show today. Drew Brees made a public statement for the first time since he apologized 27 times, since he apologized for saying, I'm not going to disrespect the flag and kneel during the national anthem. Drew Brees made a statement about the NFL. We're going to talk about that. He's not the only one, because this week, players report to NFL training camps. This week, as a matter of fact, rookies report today. Stay tuned for that. We have a lot we're going to do on the show today. And I've got a new Chris Cornell song. Chris Cornell is covering Guns N' Roses. Stay tuned for that coming up as well. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund. Here with you. Hope you had a good weekend. We had a fun little experience yesterday. Something that used to be so simple. Something that used to be something that you never even thought about. Something that we all used to take for granted. I was able to do yesterday. Coleman and me, along with Kat and her husband.
Blah, 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 blah.
We went to Fat Boy's Pizza in Metairie, and we sat down inside, and we enjoyed their delicious pizza. That's some of the best pizza. They have the giant slices. One slice is a meal. And just to be able to sit in a restaurant and hang out with friends and people you work with, and I can't remember the last time did something like that. And again, it's something that we all used to just take for granted. Oh, yeah, we're actually going to go someplace and do something with people.
The way you say it. You're right. We do take that for granted. I'm actually about to go out and do something with people. Whoa.
I mean, stuff we used to do all the time in our lives before coronavirus. But what was interesting is, just like every place in the state of Louisiana, you have to wear your mask to get in. And then once you get in and you sit down, you take your mask off.
Yeah. It was weird because we walked in with our masks. We sat down. We had to get up and order the food. But the guy was like, "Do you have your mask?" We couldn't even order it without the mask. Then we had to go to the bar with our mask on and get the beer.
Yes.
And when we sat back down, we was able to take our mask off. But, you know.
That's where we're at right now. Just the simple things in life. A giant slice of a Fat Boy's Pizza and a
honey, a tall one. That was a big
one. I was
going to
say,
beer.
How many ounces of Yingling?
That was a big
How many ounces
beer.
Of Yingling did we drink? That was a very large Yingling we had over there. And just to enjoy, to spend an hour like that. Again, something that we used to do all the time. And now, whew.
You know, that was the first time in my life that I've ever ate pizza with a fork and a knife. I've never done that before. But I had to because the slices are so damn big that I couldn't fold up the pizza the way I want to. To like to scarf it down like I usually do.
Yeah, usually you get looked at funny, or you look at someone funny when they eat pizza with a fork and a knife. But the Fat Boy's Pizza slices are so immense, it's very difficult to pick it up. You can't do it with one hand.
No,
if you're gonna pick it up, you need both hands, and they have to be healthy. They have to. You can't have any injuries on your hands or your fingers. And just great stuff, and we had fun yesterday. That was I can't wait to do more of that. And by the way, what's today? July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
We're 10 days away from the extra $600 a week being added to people's unemployment checks because of coronavirus. And some people are starting to freak out. They're like, and I know our federal government, they're looking into doing some kind of an extension. But I got to be honest with you. They can't be, they cannot continue the extra $600 a week on top of the regular unemployment weekly pay. I know the regular unemployment weekly pay is hardly anything. It's a couple of $100. But this extra $600 on top of the regular unemployment weekly pay, people aren't returning to work because of that, because they're getting more money for doing nothing, for sitting down and doing nothing from the government than they would be getting if they were back at their jobs. And there's a lot of jobs out there saying that we're reopening, but we're having a tough time getting our employees back because they make more money off of the government unemployment for not working. They make more money for not working than they would if they came back.
Well, you used to be a business owner, right?
I did a couple of years. Yeah.
Well, would you feel like you weren't paying your employees enough if the government was able to pay them a certain amount of money? You couldn't match that. Would you feel guilty as an employer, or would you say, you know what, this is an eye-opening experience. Maybe I should pay my employees more to give them more of an incentive to come to work? Like, would you be able to compete with the government, or would you have to think economically, be like, ugh, I can't, I have to pay?
Well, what's interesting, Coleman, is, and that's a good question. I remember I owned a bar and a restaurant. We used to have live music, and we had good barbecue down in Miami Beach for a couple of years. And I remember whenever I had a really, really good employee, and if they came to me and said, you know, I like working here, but I got another place that's offering me a little bit more money, I would do whatever it took to to keep the good employee working for me. And I would pay them a little bit more than what the competition was going to pay them.
Right. And but in this instance, I have to admit, the government's competition is pretty steep, man. That's a lot of money.
That's a big difference, having other competing restaurants and bars compared to the government competing with your business. But $600, look, I an extra $600, I know why they did it. These are unprecedented times. But another 10 days from now, at the end of July here, they cannot continue to give people an extra $600 on top of the regular weekly unemployment. I got one friend, you know her, Coleman. She never has two nickels to rub together ever. She's been traveling America because of the extra $600. She's traveling all over the country. And she wouldn't be able to do that without the extra $600 unemployment. I mean, she's living a life now, a better life than she lived with any of the jobs that she had before, because she never made that much money.
Well, she got 2 weeks to enjoy it. We should actually go to that place where they make those coins just for that town and bring some back just to see what they look like. That was in...
that was out in Washington State.
Yeah, she's in that area, right?
Yeah, she's up there somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Tell her bring some of those coin backs.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks on the show, that one town that's making their own coins to try to help stimulate the economy there. Anyways, look, they're going to have to do something, but people have to go back to work. And the government cannot be giving people more money to not work than they would make if they went back to work. They just can't, they can't do that and expect the economy in a capitalistic society to get back to where we need it to get. So stay tuned. That'll be interesting to see. And I know, like I said, in Washington, D.C., the feds, they're looking at trying to extend something. In my opinion, it can't be $600 extra on top of the regular unemployment. You're not going to have people go back to work. We'll see what they do. Coming up on the show, Chris Cornell, today would have been his birthday, the late singer from Soundgarden and Audioslave. And got a song from him, a cover version of a Guns N' Roses song. We're going to play that on the show this morning. And we have a lot of other things to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A recent survey found that watching porn worsens erectile dysfunction in European men. Thank God Coleman's not European. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So the actor Mickey Rourke has called out fellow actor Robert De Niro on social media. He called him a big bleeping crybaby. And that just reignited a decades-long feud. You know, I remember when Mickey Rourke, well, at least the public perception of Mickey Rourke was pretty cool dude. If you go back to when Mickey Rourke, and you start thinking about the old Mickey Rourke movies that made him Mickey Rourke, The Pope of Greenwich Village, for me, that's my favorite, top of the list. He was also in the movie Diner, and he was great in that, and 9 1/2 weeks. A lot of people talk about that movie. He had a bunch of movies when he was really young, but then evidently he was a head case and he was not easy to work with. And, you know, now he says it's because he had such a rough life that's why he treated people like crap. But then his career just went down the tubes. He got involved in boxing. Then his face got all messed up. And then he's made a comeback over the last decade. The Wrestler.
Yep, that's the Mickey Rourke I remember, in Iron Man too.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at Mickey Rourke now compared to what Mickey Rourke used to look like. I mean, I'm comfortable enough in my heterosexuality, Coleman, to say Mickey Rourke was a good-looking dude, and now you look at him, his face is backwards. It's like everything's messed up. Now he blames boxing for that, that he was boxing and he got hit a lot. Well, anyways. Mickey Rourke has just called Robert De Niro a big bleeping crybaby on his social media, on his Instagram. Now, these two have been embroiled in a feud for decades, and it started back in 1987 with the movie Angel Heart. They were both in that movie, and Mickey Rourke accused Robert De Niro of poor on-set behavior. Now, remember, that was back in 1987. Mickey Rourke is now 67 years old. Robert De Niro is 76 years old now.
Oh, well, they could just go ahead and put some boxing gloves on it and get it over with. They're young and spry.
Yeah, Robert De Niro isn't nearly as tough in real life as he is in the movies. He's not nearly that tough. Mickey Rourke, on the other hand, he was a boxer. He was a boxer, whatever. I think Mickey Rourke off camera is a lot tougher than Robert De Niro ever could be off camera. But now Mickey Rourke said that, this is what he said on social media, quote, "Hey, Robert De Niro, that's right. I'm talking to you, you big bleeping crybaby. A friend of mine just recently told me that a few months back, you're quoted as saying to newspapers, Mickey Rourke's a liar, and he talks all kinds of bleep." So obviously Mickey Rourke wasn't happy about Robert De Niro saying that. And Mickey Rourke continued, quote, "Listen, Mr. Tough Guy in the movies, you're the first person that ever called me a liar, and it was in a newspaper. Let me tell you something, you punk bleep. When I see you, I swear to God on my grandmother, on my brother, and all my dogs, I'm going to embarrass you severely, 100%.
On his dogs?
And then because Mickey Rourke loves his dogs and his dogs have died.
Uh-oh.
And so he's saying that on the souls of his dogs and his grandmother.
I get what he's saying, but that's
that he's going to he's going to mess up Robert De Niro. And then he signed the note, "Mickey Rourke, as God is my witness." And evidently, Mickey Rourke is really still pissed at Robert De Niro for something that happened a couple of years ago when they were casting, when Martin Scorsese was casting the movie The Irishman, and that had Robert De Niro in it. Evidently, Scorsese wanted Mickey Rourke, but according to what Mickey Rourke is saying right here, he continued on his social media tantrum. Quote, "Marty Scorsese wanted to meet me for a movie with Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Robert De Niro, The Irishman," Mickey Rourke said. He told this to an Italian television show. "The casting person told my manager that Robert De Niro said he refused to work with me in a movie, so that's why I didn't get a role in that Scorsese movie, The Irishman." And then Mickey Rourke finished everything by saying, "You know, I used to look up to him. Now I don't look up to him no more. I look through him. I came up from the bleep. He doesn't know that life. I lived that bleeping life. So every time I look him in the face, I look right through his bleep hole." That's how Mickey Rourke finished talking about Robert De Niro.
You know how you always try to put yourself in people's positions? I don't know. I can't confirm nor deny, but I just looked up Mickey Rourke's net worth. If I was worth that much, I wouldn't care what anybody said to me. Like, why would you, if you're that well off, why would you let something like this, somebody said something bad about you in the newspaper, but then look at your bank account and they're like, you know what? It's not that bad.
Whatever that, what is it telling you? Because whatever that his net worth is telling you, it could be, you could multiply that by 50 if he wasn't, you know,
that much compared to Hollywood standards, but for me, $10 million is a lot.
Yeah, that
guy. If I had $10 million, you could say whatever you want about me. I think I'd get over it the next day.
With the way his career started, he should be worth hundreds of millions.
Yeah, well, I guess if you could have been worth hundreds of millions, but you only have only $10 million, yeah, I can see why that might have a bug up your butt.
By the way, Robert De Niro was just in court because he's going through a real tough financial time with coronavirus, like many people. I guess he owns a bunch of restaurants and a bunch of other stuff, and because coronavirus, evidently he's losing a lot of money, and he asked a judge to lower his ex-wife's monthly American Express
interest rate?
Payment that he gives her every month from $100,000 a month to $50,000 a month. Grace Hightower is her name, his ex-wife, his latest ex-wife. And he just asked a judge because, you know, he's not making the money that he's used to because of coronavirus. Could you cut my ex-wife's, what I pay her in alimony, $100,000 a month, American Express card, can you cut that from $100,000 a month to $50,000 a month?
It goes to show you,
how could she live on $50,000 a month?
Who knows?
American Express card. Jeez. No, anyways, well, we'll see what happens. Nothing's going to happen, but Mickey Rourke has officially called out Robert De Niro, a big bleeping crybaby and other things. As the decades-long feud between those two has officially been reignited here on Bayou 95.7. Coming up next, Drew Brees made his first public statement since apologizing a few times for making his last public statement. We'll tell you what he just said, and he's ripping the NFL. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Coming up next on the show, wait till you hear this story about a Kentucky couple. They didn't do what they were supposed to do when it came to coronavirus. Authorities showed up at their house and they put ankle monitors on them, put them on house arrest. When do you hear this coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And coronavirus has a lot of people freaking out. I mean, you just look at everything that's happened in the last few months because of coronavirus. What it's done to so many people's finances. So many people lost their jobs. It's just been a disaster. And as we try and make our way out of coronavirus, now people are freaking out. Some people are freaking out because of the whole mask situation. I see people every day on my social media, on my Facebook friends of mine, who go into places and they get so upset when they're told that they have to wear a mask. And at this point here in Louisiana, it's not even up to the business owners anymore. It's the governor has told everybody in Louisiana, you got to wear a mask. No matter where you go in public, any building you go into, you have to wear a mask. That's what our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, said. And did you hear what else he said? He says that he wants people to pray and fast for a few days. He's telling people not to eat. Now, I'm no doctor, but if we're trying to fight off COVID-19 coronavirus, shouldn't we have bodies full of protein and such?
Please remember, John Osterlin is not a medical doctor.
But our governor said, look, I want you to pray and I want you to fast for a few days. And did you see this?
No, he's making that a suggestion. He's not mandating that we do this, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I was going to have trouble with that one.
That'd be something if authorities came knocking at our door to see if we're fasting, much like the authorities just came to this Kentucky couple's front door because they didn't do what authorities wanted them to do when it came to coronavirus. Listen to this story. A Kentucky couple was fitted with ankle monitors and placed on house arrest after the wife tested positive for coronavirus but refused to sign self-quarantine documents. Her name is Elizabeth Lynn Scott. She said she got tested for COVID-19 just as a precaution because she was planning to visit her parents up in Michigan. So, and of course, we know that there's three groups of people that coronavirus kills, and the elderly are in that first group, and then it's the already sick, and then it's the obese. So she's like, well, if I'm going from Kentucky to Michigan to go visit my parents, I'll get the coronavirus COVID-19 test as a precaution. She received a positive test result. All right. But she showed no symptoms. So she was asymptomatic. She said that the Hardin County, Kentucky Health Department asked her to sign documents agreeing to call them anytime that she left her house.
What? They can do that?
Well, that's why this is a story, Coleman. So Elizabeth Lynn Scott, again, she's a young mother as well. She never refused to self-quarantine, but said she would not sign the documents because of how they were worded. She said, quote, my part was, if I have to go to the ER, if I have to go to the hospital, I'm not going to wait to get the approval to go.
Oh, so she had to ask permission to go somewhere when she called. She couldn't just say, hey, I'm leaving. She had to call and say, hey, I'm leaving. Am I allowed to go? And they would give her permission or not to go.
That's why she didn't sign the documents after she tested positive for coronavirus, Coleman.
I wouldn't sign it either. You're right. I had to agree with her on this one.
Well, after opting not to sign the health department's papers, Ms. Lynn Scott said that she received a text message informing her that the situation would be escalated and law enforcement would be involved. So last week, there's a knock on the door at their Kentucky home. Her husband answers the door and he was greeted by officers at their front door at the end of last week. Quote, I open up the door and there's like eight different people, five different cars, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? Her husband, Isaiah, said. This guy's in a suit with a mask. It's the health department guy, and they have the three papers for us. For me, for my wife, and for my daughter, which they wanted them to sign because she tested positive for coronavirus, and if she signed those papers, she's agreeing to call the government to tell them anytime she's going to go someplace. This is why this is a story. And the husband, the woman, Elizabeth Lynn Scott, said, we didn't rob a store. We didn't steal something. We didn't hit and run. We didn't do anything wrong. Well, and according to authorities, what they did wrong was she took a coronavirus test.
Mm-hmm.
She tested positive.
Right.
And then she refused to sign the papers that the government said you have to sign. And in those papers, she has to let them know everywhere she's going.
Spoiler alert, I think the government is wrong on this one. If they worded the documents the way she said they did, they could have negotiated or something. And maybe she should have said, look, I will volunteer to quarantine, but if I want to go to the store and get some Cheetos, I'll just wear a mask.
Well, Coleman, this is what they did. The couple, late last week, when all these people showed up at their front door, they said they were fitted with ankle monitors that go off if they stray more than 200 feet from their home. She said that although she never refused to self-quarantine, quote, that's exactly what the director of the public health department told the judge. I'm like, that's not the case at all. I never said that. So she said she had no problem self-quarantining. She just didn't want to sign the documents that.
Now my question is, how did they get the ankle monitors on their ankle? Did they threaten them? And what would have happened if they would have refused the ankle monitors? Would they have arrested him or shot him? Like, what's the how does this even happen?
Those are valid questions, Coleman.
Because if I'm not signing a paper, I'm damn sure not putting an ankle monitor on either. So how did they hold him down? Like, were they intimidated? There was eight of them.
This is their way of contact tracing.
They need eight people to go to an innocent person's house to make them sign papers.
Saying that they tested positive.
And this is the health department. I'm guessing the health department had billy clubs and tear gas with them or something. They just, like, what?
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, that is completely psychopath.
This is why I always look at the government with one eyebrow up and the other eyebrow down. I always look at them and I always...
I mean, we both want football and we're both willing to wear our masks, but this is overkill right here.
Yes. Again, and we've said this on the show, we're no fans of wearing the mask, but if they tell us, wear the mask when you go out and it could save lives, they're telling us that. And we reported on the show late last week, they said if every American, authorities have now said in this country, if every American wears a mask when they go outside and they go into public buildings and they go into, that the coronavirus will stop spreading in 4 to 6 weeks. That's what they're telling us.
And this Kentucky couple never said they weren't going to wear a mask. They just said they weren't going to sign the papers. They said they were okay with staying at home. They said it was okay with wearing a mask. They just didn't want to sign the papers saying that they had to report to the government for every move that they make. This is ludicrous.
Well, they just hired an attorney.
Yes.
And like I've said during this whole thing, when with the businesses being shut down, and I mean, if anybody got an attorney and took the government to court, and especially when this is all said and done, or even now, I mean, how is any of this going to hold up in a court of law?
Please remember, John Osterlin is not an attorney.
And I wouldn't want to have to pay the legal fees, the lawyer fees, and the fines that would accrue. But how is any of this stuff going to hold up in a court of law? What do you think of this story if you're listening right now? This Kentucky couple, they forced to wear ankle monitors, and which go off when they go 200 feet or farther from their home, all because the wife tested positive for coronavirus and then didn't want to sign documents saying that she would inform authorities everywhere she went because she tested positive for coronavirus, when chances are, if she tested positive for coronavirus, which she did, if she just hung out in bed for 3 or 4 days, she would probably be like the other, 98% of people that get coronavirus, even higher than that.
I can only think of three words. Go fund me. If she can't afford the lawyer fees, I'm quite sure she put this story out. We're talking about it now. She just started a GoFundMe page for her legal fees.
Text us your thoughts on this. Do you agree with us? This is insane. This is insanity. Or do you think, well, no, they have to contact trace, and this is a way of contact tracing. Really, she tested positive for coronavirus, so now she has to tell the government everywhere she goes? And if she doesn't, if she doesn't sign the paper saying she'll do that, they show up at your house and they put ankle bracelets on you, ankle monitors on you?
And then if she goes 201 foot, what happens then?
Text us. What do you think about this? Keep it short and sweet. Please don't text while you're driving. And put either your first name or your initials at the end of the text. If it's good, we'll read it on the show. Text us at 504-260-9595. 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. We just told you the story about this couple in Kentucky, this married couple. The woman was going to go visit her parents up in Michigan, so she decided to take a coronavirus test because, you know, you don't want to be around old people with coronavirus. She tested positive, and she refused to sign a couple of documents that authorities in Kentucky sent to her. They wanted her to sign these papers because they wanted to be able to contact trace her. And by signing the papers, that would tell them she would have to report to them wherever she went. She didn't want to do that. She said, I will stay home and I will self-quarantine for 3 or 4 days until I get better, and then, but I'm not signing the papers. Well, they got a knock on their door late last week. A bunch of people showed up with masks on, and they said, if you don't sign the papers, we're going to put these ankle monitors on you so you can't leave your property. They didn't sign the papers, and now they got ankle monitors on them. This is why I always look at government kind of funny. And I asked you to text us if you had any thoughts on this story right here. What do you got, Coleman?
First, Bon Jovi said, when you say government, just make sure you say local government, because she doesn't want Bon Jovi doesn't want people to take that out of context. But this is a Kentucky local government.
No.
But, all right. So both CL and Chris B made some great points. CL says, does everyone else that tests positive, I'm guessing in the Kentucky area, have to sign these papers too, or was it just her? It seems a bit extreme. And Chris B says, stories like this are exactly why I don't get tested. So now you have to figure, when people in Kentucky hear stories like this, whether they feel symptoms or not, now they're going to be afraid to get tested because they might feel like they'll get put on house arrest too. So now you just discourage a lot of people from getting tested. So the numbers are really going to be skewed.
Sure. And I can't imagine this is just Kentucky, because they want to be able to contact trace.
All right.
And with people that get coronavirus. So, I mean, if you test positive here in Louisiana, do they make you sign? Maybe, I know they want to use you as a contact tracer, though. I know that.
This guy says, Americans are spoiled brats and won't allow their pride to subside for the greater good, because I have rights. And yes, I am American. Well, yeah, you're American. Only Americans can talk about America like that and have the gall and audacity.
Yeah, no, this is something, an unprecedented time. That's why, and you see a story like this, it makes you go, whoa. Coming up, Drew Brees finally spoke publicly for the first time since he apologized for saying he won't disrespect the American flag by kneeling during the national anthem at football games. And I've got the 9 most dangerous jobs you could have in a pandemic. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I've got in front of me the 9 riskiest jobs to have during a pandemic. A little bit surprising here. The 9 riskiest jobs. Number 9, hairdressers.
Okay.
That, I wouldn't have thought that. Even if you're wearing a mask and the person whose hair you're cutting is wearing a mask. I need a haircut, Coleman. I think I was going to go today after the show. Should let the lady that cuts my hair maybe give her an extra tip because of this. I mean, I'm already a pretty good tipper. Maybe even be a better tipper. Number 8, restaurant and hospitality workers.
Uh-oh, I think I see where this is going. Is this going to be one of those, the more fun it is, the risky it is kind of lists?
I don't know. But I guess in your other job, Coleman, you deliver food. You deliver chicken wings. I mean, that technically, that would be restaurant hospitality workers.
Yeah.
So you're in there. Number 7, riskiest job during the middle of a pandemic, firefighters.
Well, that's a risky job no matter what.
Yeah. Whether there's a pandemic or not. Number 6, kindergarten teachers. And it's interesting how they just said kindergarten, not just school teachers in general.
Well, how did they figure it out before kids even went back to school?
Well, because kindergartners, whether it's a pandemic or not, Coleman, they're walking germ factories.
Huh.
They're just like one large walking germ, a kindergartner.
Okay.
At that age. Number 5, school bus drivers.
All right.
Because you're around so many kids.
Yeah, I can see that.
When it comes to the riskiest jobs you can have in the middle of a pandemic, number 4, flight attendants.
All right.
Not pilots. They're locked in the cockpit.
Yeah.
You can't get in the cockpit. Love the cockpit. But flight attendants, they're running around with the general public. So that's why they're number 4. The 3rd riskiest job you could have during the middle of a pandemic, a registered nurse.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. It goes without saying. Number 2, the family doctor, the general practitioner. It's funny how they're not the hospital emergency room doctors, just your regular family doctor, the doctor you normally go to on a Tuesday afternoon for a regular appointment.
All right.
And the most dangerous, well, the riskiest job you could have during the middle of a pandemic, a dental hygienist.
Because their mouth is always open. They're always in somebody's mouth and they got to go, like the complete opposite of wearing
masks. Yeah, even if they're wearing masks, which they always do. And I remember going to the dentist before the pandemic. They always wore masks. But evidently, even if you're wearing a mask during the pandemic, because they've always told us that the regular cloth masks, they don't help us. They help the people around us.
Yeah, that makes sense. At first, I thought number one was either going to be a bartender or a protest organizer.
How about a cop? They didn't even make the top nine, and they run around with guns. Well, anyways, that's a list of the nine riskiest jobs that you can have during the middle of a global pandemic. A couple of those surprised me here. Coming up on the show, we've got a today would have been Chris Cornell's birthday, the former Soundgarden singer and Audioslave singer. And we've got a song that he sang. He sang a Guns N' Roses song. And we're going to play that in a few minutes. That's coming up in just a few minutes. And also Drew Brees has made some headlines along with some other NFL players. They're really giving it to the NFL, telling them, hey, this is what you got to do when it comes to coronavirus because we want to play football. And this is the week, right now, this week, that NFL players are reporting to camp.
Calm down, John.
For the season. I'm excited about that. That's all coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Today, it's Chris Cornell's birthday, the former singer from Soundgarden and Audioslave. And we have a song right here, Chris Cornell covering a Guns N' Roses song. And here it is on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And there's Chris Cornell doing Guns N' Roses. Patience, did you like that version? Today, July 20th, is Chris Cornell's birthday. What he would have been He was born in 1964. So that would have been what? He would have been 60? No, no, not quite.
Yeah, my math brain is off. I was just enjoying the...
56. He would have been 56 years old today, Chris Cornell, the former Soundgarden singer and Audioslave singer. I like that song, although I was hoping that he would get into the high Chris Cornell voice at the end of the song there when Axl Rose,
I'm walking the streets at night.
I was hoping he would get,
just trying to get right.
I was hoping he'd go into that Chris Cornell voice, the high voice, but he didn't. But that was a nice version of that song.
When you said he was going to do a Guns N' Roses song, I was crossing my fingers hoping it was, just, you know, that I like rock, you know, that Welcome
yeah,
to the Jungle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it was still a nice version. You know, he does an incredible version of the song, Nothing Compares to You.
Okay.
If you've never heard that.
I know it's subjective, but I always thought Chris Cornell was the best rock vocalist of all time, in my opinion. I know, you know.
He's up there.
The James Bond theme song he did, and then, like, he did another song called Hero for the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack, and then Black Hole Sun. Like, he just has the best rock vocals to me.
Yeah, the range he has is absolutely incredible. So there it is, Chris Cornell singing Guns N' Roses' Patience. So Drew Brees said something publicly for the first time since he apologized a couple of times for saying he wouldn't disrespect the American flag by kneeling during the national anthem before NFL football games. And then he was attacked by half the country. How dare you? You're not black. You don't know what black guys go through. And so then Drew Brees came out not once, but twice and apologized, saying that he didn't understand that he made an error in judgment when he said what he said. And then his wife, Brittany Brees, she apologized profusely as well. And we haven't heard from them. And when we talked about that a couple of times on the show, I said, boy, you know, you'd never think you'd have to apologize for saying, I don't want to disrespect the American flag by kneeling. But then the black people that went after him, many of his teammates, they said, it's not about the military. It's not about that. It's about what's happening to black people here in the United States right now. That's why we're doing it.
And well, the weirdest thing about all that was it was a financial news thing where he said that.
He did an interview with Yahoo Finance.
Yeah, like what?
And so, you know, if Drew Brees pissed off half the country with what he originally said there, and he pissed off the other half when he profusely apologized a couple of times. But the Saints said that they've had team meetings and they're all on the same page. That's the good news, because the Saints are without a doubt a Super Bowl contender this year. They've got the team. They've got the talent to do it. They're going to play football this year, probably in empty stadiums or stadiums that only have about 25% capacity. But Drew Brees made some news. He, along with a few other players, including NFL reigning MVP and Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, along with Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, they all took to social media yesterday and they gave it to the NFL. They said, look, you guys got to get it together when it comes to health of the NFL players and testing for coronavirus and such. And some people are giving Drew Brees some crap for what he said. Basically, he said something along the lines of what LSU head coach Ed Orgeron said last week, which we talked about on the show. Here's what Drew Brees said. Quote, we need football, exclamation point. We need sports, exclamation point. We need hope, exclamation point. And Drew Brees said, the NFL's unwillingness to follow the recommendations of their own medical experts will prevent that. If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, There is no football in 2020. It's that simple. Get it done at NFL. So he's him, and again, he's not the only one. Again, Mahomes and Wilson, and you're talking about the highest profile players in the NFL. They're saying, come on, NFL, get it together.
They could have sent that in a private email. Why'd they have to put it on Twitter for the world to see? Think because they want to get everybody's eyes on it and put pressure on the NFL? Because they could have easily just called the office, but hey, you might want to follow these guidelines so we can play.
They're saying that the NFL is not willing to follow the recommendations of their own medical experts. And this, again, this it comes to testing and wearing masks and all of this kind of stuff. Look, and some people are giving them crap for saying we need football. Obviously, much like Ed Orgeron last week, what we need most is people to get back to their jobs or to all their jobs opening again. That's what we need most. And obviously, it would be nice if there was a vaccine for coronavirus, for COVID-19, if there was a cure for it. But look, this isn't the only thing there's no cure for. There's a lot of things going around that there's no cure for in this country, on this planet.
And then once again, when they said they need football, we need football, they mean more as a morale booster, not like top priority and we need
That's what it is. And I think, and that's what LSU's coach Ed Orgeron meant last week. Wouldn't it be great for a morale boost for the country to get football back, something to watch on television?
It'll be a great distraction, something to wind down with.
Absolutely. I miss going home, sitting on my couch, and watching a ball game. And whether that was an NBA game or a Major League Baseball game or an NFL game coming up. I mean, obviously, no, we need people to get back to work. We need people to not be freaked out about coronavirus. But boy, for a shot in the arm, a good kick in the pants, a good morale boost. What's interesting is NFL camps are opening today. Rookies are reporting to NFL camps today. And then by the end of this week, all the players are reporting to NFL camps. Baseball starts three nights from tonight. As a matter of fact, last night, ESPN showed a Sunday night preseason baseball game between the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs from an empty Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago. That was a little bit strange, but it was nice seeing baseball. It was nice seeing a game. And this Thursday night, it starts for real, the abbreviated 60-game season that Major League Baseball is going to have. That starts Thursday night. And then 8 days after that, next weekend starts the NBA's restart of their season, and they're in their bubble down there in Orlando, Florida. They're all quarantined and just try to make it through that. And then the NFL will follow. But I desperately want.
Dude, I can see the hairs on your arms are raising up right now, like you're getting goosebumps.
No, I desperately want the NFL to start. Not just that. I mean, weekends in the fall and in the winter. I mean, Saturdays, college football. Sundays, pro football. Again, something we just always took for granted. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, when yesterday you and me, Coleman, along with Kat and her husband, we went over to Fat Boys Pizza in Metairie, and we sat down at a table inside, and we actually had something to eat. We had some beer, and wow, when was the last time we did that? I mean, taking something for granted, like actually going someplace and doing something with someone. Wow, it's been months.
So you're tailgating then?
I don't know if tailgating is going to be allowed. I don't think there's going to be. I can guarantee you here in New Orleans, our tax cheat of a mayor, LaTax de Cantrell, already said she doesn't want any large gatherings through this calendar year 2020, and she doesn't even know if she wants them in 2021. But I think there might be some NFL cities that might open their stadiums for limited capacity.
All right,
but I don't see that happening here. I think the Saints will be playing in an empty dome, according to, again, to our tax sheet of a mayor. So, anyways, Drew Brees said that. He wasn't the only one. He's taking a little bit of heat, but obviously, look, do we need football? No, there's a couple of other things we could need before football, but boy, we could really use it. And I personally could really use it, because we're going to do something here. Once football season gets started, we're going to be able to have a, I guess we're going to call it the survivor pool. They used to call it something else, but where you pick games, we're going to have fun doing that on this show. And I look forward to doing that with you if you listen to this show. So anyways, hey, but camps are open. Rookies showing up today. And hopefully they'll be able to play some football this year and not get interrupted by this craziness. Coming up on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Wait till you hear this one. This is a new one. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Drew, let's go. Buzz right, tear, F fly, ride 35, Bob, kill 53, Titan left.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Got a good news story here. About a month ago, you may recall, in Kenner, a popular Italian restaurant and market burnt down. Gendusa's restaurant. And I've been there. I love that place. They got those giant meatballs. Meatballs. Well, it was pretty sad. Well, this is great news. Gendusa's, Troy Gendusa is who owns the place. The people that were in the building next door to him wanted to sell that building anyways and retire. And the timing just happened to be perfect. He bought the place right next door to where his restaurant was. And he's reopening this week in that building next door. How amazing is that? Not even right around a month's time. And he said that everything happened so fast. And so when he opens this week, he says, and I'm quoting, "First night, my intention is to feed all of the firemen and policemen that came out, the first responders who came out the day of the fire. And then the second night is going to be all the customers that came out, the family and friends who helped me get stuff moved, who loaned me stuff to help me get back on my feet." So the first couple of nights this week, he's going to be thankful and feeding those who helped him.
I think I'll show up for ladies' night, though.
It doesn't say here when he's going to get into ladies' night, Coleman. But, you know, after those first couple of nights, Coleman, you and me should go over there, because I've got to turn you on to those giant meatballs. You like meatballs.
Yeah, I love big giant meatballs. We've been to casinos a few times, and they have some pretty good meatballs. So.
That's on the North Shore in Mandeville. This place, Gendusa's in Kenner, though, they have the massive-sized meatballs. And it's just great news that he turned that around so fast, something so negative. Your restaurant burns down because of a fire, and here's a month later, you're opening up in the building right next door that you were able to acquire in right in Kenner's Rivertown section on Main Street there.
Cool, let's do it.
Yeah, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and it's about that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. California woman pees on store floor after refusing to wear a mask. A California woman is accused of urinating in the middle of a Verizon store, right on the floor, after police said she refused to wear a mask and then refused to leave. This happened at the Galleria Boulevard store in Roseville, California. Employees told police three customers were asked to leave the store for not wearing masks. All right. Well, one of those customers pulled down her pants and urinated, peed. Right on the floor in the middle of the Verizon store. And that call actually went out like that on the 911 dispatch. Said,
they're calling back and advising that female is pulling down her pants and is now urinating inside the business.
And so the cops showed up there and they grabbed the woman and they brought her outside. He said, you have a car here in the strip mall parking lot? And she said, yeah, my car's over there. They opened up her car and she had a bunch of stolen merchandise from a nearby Dick's Sporting Goods store in her car. How dumb is she? You know, if you're gonna not wear a mask in a store and then the protest being told you have to wear a mask, if you're gonna pull your pants down and just start peeing, urinating right there in the middle of the store on the floor, you shouldn't have a car full of stolen merchandise from the Dick's Sporting Goods that's next door.
Or tell the cops, dude, I just urinated on the floor. You think I have a license in a car? Come on, I walked here.
I mean, go figure. Why would you tell the cops, yeah, my car's over there?
Tell them you don't have a car.
If it's if you got a bunch of stolen merch in there from Dick's Sporting Goods. What an idiot. So that's why we have this segment. Anyways, the woman who peed all over the floor inside the California Verizon store because she was told to wear a mask and she didn't want to, and then admitted to the cops, yeah, my car's out there, when the cops showed up and her car was loaded with a bunch of stolen merchandise from a nearby Dick's Sporting Good store. That's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Hey, today's July 20th. It was 51 years ago today that two of our astronauts walked on the moon for the very first time. At least that's what our government wants us to think. No, I believe that one. And Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, they walked on the moon today. In 1969. You know why I believe that? Because Buzz Aldrin wouldn't lie. Neil Armstrong wouldn't lie. Are you kidding? They wouldn't lie. Anyways, isn't that something? We could send guys to walk on the moon, yet all of these years later, a stinking virus has got a big chunk of the country, much of the country shut down. I bet you Neil Armstrong wouldn't believe that if he was alive today. He wouldn't believe that could happen after he was moonwalking. Hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.